Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. I hope the start of the day is treating you right for this April 4th, 2023. Happy Election Day, everybody. Got your host, James J. here at 7:04 on the clock. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everybody. Mel and I are going to get into a bunch of fun stuff today, and we're going to tell you about some special election coverage that our friends at Civic Media, our company, is going to be doing today. Looking forward to that. Otherwise, I've got a story that we have got to start off with, Melissa, that I've been sitting on since, I think, Friday to talk to you about. So we got to get into that.
Oh boy.
Also got to get into peeps contain a no carcinogen.
What?
Peeps contain a known carcinogen.
Oh.
I just can't speak this morning. That's all. I just can't. Which shouldn't be a problem at all. Shouldn't you know, I can't see that being an issue with this job at all.
Not like you need to talk for a living.
No. We're going to get into the top springtime frustrations, talk a little Easter as well, got some entertainment news, all kinds of things lined up. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, we are going to be joined by Shelby the Pet Nanny.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Shelby is a newer business in Wisconsin Rapids here. She's a new member of the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. We wanted to talk with her, so she's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour, about 9:04.
Great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, after that, we will have some good stories, that ain't right stories. You know how we wrap up the show. We're going to have some fun. We're going to go ahead and make you laugh and probably jump on a soapbox or two. And and get your morning started on a right note here. Thank you so much for joining us to the best listeners in radio. Melissa, I want to ask you how you're doing this morning, but I have a feeling.
Oh, it's been a morning, James.
Yeah.
But I think I might have clean feet up now. Do you want to give it a try?
Let's do it. Let's do it right here on the air. Let's go ahead and
do this. Okay, let's do it right live.
Ooh, that was weird. We had to do it in stereo for a second there. Ooh. All right, how are you?
Okay, I'll just try talking through one at a time.
Oh, wow, does that sound
better?
Oh, but
I got to put my headphones on. Oh, hey, there you are.
Hey, how you doing, Mel?
Oh, better now.
Yeah? That is a lot better. Wow. I did not realize until hearing the comparison back and forth there from the phone to CleanFeed, the difference. I feel like we're doing an ad for CleanFeed right now. I can't believe the difference.
You're welcome, CleanFeed.
Thank you, CleanFeed, for saving our radio show. You're all right.
So
I don't know what CleanFeed's like.
I'm still connected through my hotspot, so we'll hopefully this stays up.
Here's hoping. Especially,
here's hoping.
It's not like you have anything to do tonight or anything. It's not as if you need your internet or anything like that.
Right. Expected outage for maintenance. You know, they would choose to do it today.
Yeah, of course.
And it was supposed to be back on by 3 a.m. And yet, here we are.
And actually, I'm sorry, that's a horrible time to do maintenance. Like, it's not as if you're the only person paying attention to election coverage today or anything.
Right? Or uses their internet in the morning?
Yeah, it seems like a really bad time to do it. Unless, I guess, you really couldn't care less. And then you just don't even notice. That you.
No.
Well,
but how many people don't use their internet right away in the morning?
Yeah. It's honestly one of the first things we all do. Like, even if you don't consider yourself a person that doesn't use it that much, chances are you do.
Yeah.
How's it in Abbotsford this morning?
Oh, well, aside of a hectic morning start, it's all right.
Good. Got some nice weather here, it's looking like so far. I can't argue with the temperatures, that's for sure. No real sunshine,
for now.
But can't argue.
I think it's going to get nasty later. But Paul will probably give us an update.
Yeah, we'll be finding out about that in the start of the 8 o'clock hour when Paul Trombley joins us, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Let's go ahead and talk about that special coverage we have going on today, Melissa. And to start, let's go ahead and get into it being Election Day, of course, the spring election going on today. A couple of things to keep in mind today, just off the cuff. You're going to need a voter ID. You're going to need a photo ID. Make sure you have that on you.
Yep, driver's license, your state ID, either of those work.
Yes. For Wisconsin Rapids, where we're located right here, wards 1 through 10, west side voters, and those living in the red area, on the map that you can see at wirapids.org, you're going to be voting in the Centralia Center at 220 3rd Avenue South. and for wards 11 through 27 Eastside voters, with the exception of those living in that red area that I mentioned before, vote at East Junior High School Fieldhouse at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. If you are curious about more, like you'd like to know what's on your ballot or other information, encourage you to go to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. You can also find out all the information there as far as, you know, you type in your name, you type in your address. It'll give you where your location to vote, as well as other information.
Mm-hmm. And then on civicmedia.us, we have every county linked there to their municipal page for election updates. But we're also going to be giving them live throughout the night, starting once polls close at 8 o'clock.
Pulling this from civicmedia.us, in total, 82 referenda are on the ballot this spring, which is about the same number of referenda questions asked by the school districts in the fall of 22 election and the spring 22 election, which each had 81 referendums for a total of 162 in 2022's two elections. And this is according to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. The largest referendum on the spring ballot is actually local for us. It belongs to the Marshfield School District, where voters are being asked to approve a $99.5 million question to approve school facilities in multiple buildings. Other districts, of course, have plenty going on here as well. We have a huge run for judge going on as well in this area and as well as in the Supreme Court.
Yep, and then the
Wisconsin
school board
Supreme Court,
also,
I should say.
Right.
Be
Wisconsin
a little more specific about that, James.
But then also our school board elections.
Mm-hmm. So a lot going on, a lot on the ballot, a lot to think about, a lot going. And hopefully you've had plenty of time to think about this. You've listened to our election coverage before. You have listened to Melissa's news. You heard our candidates last week join us on Morning Magazine. And again, a big thank you to all the candidates that joined us. Wanted to send a quick side shout out to Melissa doing such good work on Friday. Got to hear your news breaks and you using some of the interviews. That was real quick time. That was a quick turnover. Override by you. Nice work.
Well, thanks. Yeah. It takes a little bit more time to pull those quotes, but it's important. And I wanted to give a teaser for our listeners to try to also get them interested to listen to the full podcast. If you missed it, you can still go to civicmedia.us, go to shows, click on James's Morning Magazine, and you can find those interviews in their entirety right there. Super easy to navigate to, easy to find. And those were great interviews, James. I got to give you kudos. Nice job.
Oh, thank you. I just read the teleprompter. I have a teleprompter, and I just read whatever it's on it.
Do not. Stop it.
We can't afford a teleprompter.
Are you kidding?
Civic Media's got some great coverage going on tonight as well. Melissa, do you mind telling everybody about that?
Yeah. Starting at 7 o'clock, we have Kristen Bry and Jane Matinier from As Goes Wisconsin. They're going to be giving the kind of, we're calling it behind the scenes, the pregame show, but lining up what's going to be on the ballots in across the entire state and talking with, I believe they have Maurice Shepherd, who is our political analyst, that will be on, and then just kind of giving you the overview of what you can expect to hear during the rest of the evening, because then starting at 8 o'clock, Terry Bell, our news director for Civic Media, and Todd Alba will be giving live updates, talking about the elections that are happening. And then we have live reports from each of our anchors, news anchors throughout the state, giving live updates throughout the evening. And each one is covering kind of a different bunch of races. So we have Terry Barr is covering the mayor's races. So she'll be giving updates on the Stevens Point mayor race, as well as all of the other ones in the area, Green Bay, Madison, every other mayor's race. And then I'll be covering the Outagamie County, county executive race, and then also the Foxconn, we're calling it the Foxconn referenda, kind of, but it's the village board race there. Because there's a group of people trying to basically oust the current village board because they don't agree with Foxconn and the you know, so it's a whole, it's that's honestly such an a little interesting bit of a soap one. Opera, James.
It is. It is. And I have a lot of my brother, his wife, you know, his family, my ex-wife and my kid, one of my kids live over in that area. So I pay a lot of attention to the, not just the politics, but to what's going on over there. I like to be informed. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is drama.
It's very much drama. But it's also interesting because that the Foxconn development could, you know, has a lot of potential in that area to bring in business, to help develop the area with more jobs and more infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the pushback of, well, we're not hearing anything. We're not getting any feedback on what's happening with Foxconn. But the company is very secretive. So
yeah.
there's that push and shove of, well, what can we release? What can't we? And it's fascinating.
It's already hard for people to trust businesses nowadays, trust anything nowadays. When you know, the less communication, the less transparency, the harder it is.
Right.
It could be the greatest of organizations. I remember hearing this about the Red Cross. You know, the people having frustrations with the Red Cross because of, you know, lack of transparency about funding and everything. And that's the Red Cross. I mean, you know, people are questioning of a lot of things nowadays. And this is part of the reason why we have this election coverage we have today, why we have people like Melissa hitting the ground running and making sure that we're covering this inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to the work tonight, Melissa. I do have a class tonight. I'll be checking in whenever I can.
Oh, excellent. Well, good. We hope lots of people will join us. And if you can't get us on the radio, you can certainly find us streaming on any of your favorite streaming services or through our website, civicmedia.us.
Yeah, it's a great way to do it. I encourage you to download the app as well. The Civic Media app, it works great. Never has failed me. It's always working, always doing good. And I'm able to hear Mel's news. Which I like. Nice. I like hearing your news. I actually have come, like, I'm really coming, like, it's, I'm in a routine with it now, where I, it's part of my day. Awesome. We got all that coming up for you. We're going to go ahead and take a break right here. We'll get to our National Day of Calendar, get to Melissa's news. After all of that, we'll get into that story that I'm dying to get into with you, Melissa.
Mm,
all right.
Good.
Coming up. All that on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there, everybody. Melissa and James here with you. Time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this April 4th, 2023. As we continue Ramadan, I want to wish everybody a good Ramadan out there. And we also want to wish you a very happy, sorry, Melissa, didn't mean to cut you off there. National Chicken Cordon Bleu Day.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. I've actually made that.
Have you? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that the one with the ham in the middle? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've made that a couple times. That's good stuff. I'm a sucker for almost anything
made it
with
from scratch.
Oh no, no, it's not too bad.
Mm-mm.
It's not too bad. You just got to take your time with it, like a lot of things, I guess. At least for me, with cooking, I have to take my time with a lot of things.
Well, that's a good advice anyway.
Hmm. I'm kind of a sucker for anything with breading. I'm noticing, like you bread a shoe, and I'll probably take a couple bites of it at least. You know. Something about that.
You would, James.
Yeah. DARE Day. Drug Abuse Resistance Education is what DARE stands for and aims to steer kids away from drugs through community engagement and education, typically at schools. It's a great day. Great day for that. Mm-hmm. A great day to have that in place. And something that not a lot of things still around when we were kids, Melissa. They kind of got their, I don't know if it got a start, but I want to believe it got a start when we were kids. The DARE programs. And
yeah, 1984.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's a good program. Let's see here. It is also National Vitamin C Day. Vitamin C is good.
Stock up on your vitamin C.
I don't want to be...
Yeah, it's good for you.
I warned you guys already. I was going to get on a... So, you know, there's going to be a couple times where we're going to get in soapboxes here. I don't mean to be divisive and controversial, even especially on an election day here. I want us to get along and all of us to find commonality. I'm a big fan of vitamin C. There, I said it. I said it. I like vitamin C. I admit it. I admit it. I know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let the
get all your
start
hate.
Coming in.
Yep. Let them all come in. 424-2600. Tell me how about all the anti-vitamin C. Wait a minute. No. Everybody. Okay. We all get along on vitamin C. All right. Cool. cool. All right.
We're all pretty good on vitamin C. You want to, you know, not have scurvy.
It'd be, even if vitamin C, that's all it did, I'd be cool with it because I like citrus stuff. So most citrus stuff has vitamin C in it. But that would be a little sad if that's all vitamin C did. Like it's like it just keeps scurvy away. That's all it does, really. That's all. It's got so many uses. Vitamin C is very crucial.
It's really
crucial.
Great for your immune system, helping you to stay healthy. You know, we're still in the flu season here, so you want to stock up on C.
Wonderful point. It is an essential nutrient in terms of producing a number of neurotransmitters and repairing tissues. It was discovered back in 1912. 16 years later, it was isolated. Then in 1933, it became the first vitamin to be produced chemically.
All right.
So you think about that, Melissa. I think of vitamin C. I think of something that's been around forever. But we've only, you know, kind of like weaponized it, if you will, since like 1912. it took 16 years to be able to mass produce it.
Mm-hmm.
We just went like within a year, essentially, coming up with a vaccine for something we had never even seen before.
Right.
Like,
but to be fair, that vaccine was being processed a lot of, you know, that a lot more years have been spent on it.
Very true.
We just pivoted.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Just even with that, still, like 16 years to get vitamin C into Americans, into the world. And what we were able to do during that pandemic, mm-hmm. I mean, we skate past this stuff with our 24-hour news cycles and this pushback on science and all these things. Can we just give like a little bit of credit for a second? I know it was a couple of years ago. We're all, what have you done for me lately, science and everything? But that's pretty dang cool.
It is pretty cool.
That's amazing.
And if you eat, you know, a lot of vitamin C you can get through your foods, but if you're not eating enough of those foods, like cauliflower, broccoli, citrus fruits, cranberries, then you need to take a supplement. It can definitely help you.
Adding to my grocery list right now. Let me just...
Kiwi fruit, James.
Kiwi. I do like kiwi. Kiwi's good.
There you go.
There was a kid who brought some kiwi to show and tell like in sixth grade, and it was like one of the few things I hadn't tried coming from where I did, and I've loved it ever since. That was awesome. That's good stuff.
Nice.
National Walk Around Things Day. Most days you're forced to face your problems, stressful, but on Walk Around Things Day, give yourself permission to avoid your problems and enjoy peace. I know that they didn't plan it this way, but this could not have fallen on a worse day. It's election day. It's the exact opposite of that.
Right.
We need you to face your fears today, people. We need you to face your problems. Heck, mm-hmm. face things that you find boring, all right? Be informed to get out there and vote. This is maybe do this tomorrow. Maybe push this one off till tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe avoid things tomorrow, because today is not the day to avoid your civic duty.
I got to be honest. I'm not sure there's any day that's necessarily good for this. Like, I think it's always a good idea to find moments to relax, to release, put all your problems out of your head.
Unplug.
Yeah, definitely. But I don't know, the way that they're talking about this and it being a whole day thing, I don't know. I do like the idea, though, of like, tons of people running around, like literally running around, like running from conversations. Like somebody tries to talk. Hey, you know, I really need to talk to you about this.
Oh, where are you going?
La, 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 la. They're just running away. Just grown adults. Just what do you want from me?
Sometimes you just don't want to be a grown adult.
That is the truth. It's World Rat Day. I was going to make a Ben reference to the movie Ben that Michael Jackson did the theme song to, which is a movie all about a rat from the 80s that did horribly. But I don't believe anybody's going to get that reference. So go ahead, Google Ben the rat.
I wouldn't have.
And you'll know what I'm talking about. Rats have been around for over 50 million years, and it may surprise you to learn that they haven't always had a bad reputation. In fact, the Chinese zodiac honors the humble rat as the first animal in the 12-year cycle and associates those born in the year of the rat with various positive personality traits, including optimism, intelligence, and diligence.
Hmm.
Generally speaking, however, rats have had it pretty tough over the years. The Hindu god Ganesh, is frequently depicted riding a rat, and believers usually ascribe it negative concoctions. And the little critter viewed as a symbol of selfish desire and destructive habits that can help... So it can be seen, we go back to the Black Death with ravaging Europe in the Middle Ages and such. I can mention New York City, just New York, just in general with rats and everything.
Mm-hmm. But they can also make really great pets.
Yep. That is the thing to end on there. Certainly, you know, looking for at least a positive to end on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen people have rats as friends, or pets and friends, I guess, and really enjoyed them as animals. I've never had one. I've seen plenty of rats in my life. I'm from Chicago. But I have not pet them or anything like that. But the wild ones I've seen have never bothered me, have never, like, disturbed me or anything. I don't know.
We don't like having pests in our house. It's bad enough to have mice. I can't imagine having rats in your house. That would, like wild ones.
Yeah.
As pets, absolutely. Because the same as I wouldn't want a wild dog in my house, but a domesticated one, that's a whole different story.
Yeah. International Carrot Day is what we wrap up with. Bake it into a cake, crunch it with some ranch, or cook it up in a butter sauce. The carrot is healthy, tasty, and surprisingly easy to grow for your own.
Carrots are awesome.
Yeah, they really are.
I really like carrots.
Yeah.
And then they have multiple colored carrots, too. You can get white carrots or purple carrots. And those are fun to make as a, you know, just like roasted veggies. If you get the multicolored carrots, have some rutabagas in there. Maybe some squash, get the root vegetables going. That makes a really great roasted veggie side dish or main dish.
It's a pretty big holiday in a lot of other countries as well. Celebrations are found around the globe in several countries on different continents, including France, Sweden, Italy, Russia, Japan, Australia, and the United Kingdom. There are multiple varieties of this popular vegetables Melissa was telling us about. There's the purple dragon carrot. It breathes fire. No, it does. I'm sorry. No, it does not. It does not do that. Those
are
cool.
Only if you're lucky.
There's baby carrots. There's all kinds of carrots.
There's a carrot museum.
There's a carrot museum.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, it's virtual. But you can visit. That means everybody can visit it. Visit World Carrot Museum Foundation. Take adventures in carrots.
Oh, I got to check that out.
Who knew this was such a big deal? But then we must mention carrot cake.
Yes, wonderful carrot cake.
The most amazing dessert.
Mm-hmm. No argument here. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Carrots originate from Iran and were first domesticated in Asia in the 10th century.
Wow.
Naturally yellow or purple in color, this root gradually becomes a common foodstuff in Asian regions. I didn't know that. Did not know. Had no idea.
I didn't know that either.
Pretty cool.
Because they're so, so common here. It's a very common vegetable to have.
Yeah. Great, great, great one. What up, Doc? I gotta get a Bugs Bunny line in there. Got him. We're going to take a break. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, have a bunch of fun when we're back on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there. Melissa and James here with you, 7:35 on the clock. And we have to dive into this one. I've been waiting on this, Melissa. This was posted on March 31st, and I've been waiting since then to get into this with you.
Good morning.
Taco Bell's menu isn't that involved. It's mostly just the same six or seven ingredients presented in slightly different ways. But they're getting a lot of mileage out of the changes they make. Taco Bell just announced they are bringing back another throwback item. And like last year, they're letting the fans decide what it is, Melissa.
What?
Yes.
What's this?
You have to be a Taco Bell Rewards member to weigh in, but that's free. Yeah. You can do it, and you can sign up and then just delete the app. You can vote. You can vote once a day through their app between now and April 12th. And
that's not many days.
No. And here's the catch: there's only two options. And, and the seven-layer burrito is not on there,
it's
Melissa.
It's not one of them?
It's not
of course
one of them.
It's not.
Because they're fools. Because they're fools. I'll say it.
To fail.
Yes.
They want to not be successful, and that's really sad for them.
Now, if Taco Bell would like to advertise with us, I will take every word of this back. The first is their beefy crunch burrito that first hit the menu in 2010 and got pulled a year later. It made a few brief returns since. It has Frito Flamin' hot flavored corn chips with seasoned beef and rice. They make it sound a lot better than what you get.
Yeah, I mean, it's, what is it? Beans? No, does it even have beans in it? It's just beef, rice, and chips.
Yeah.
That's not a lot. They need to add some guacamole and some sour cream on there. Or better yet, make it a seven-layer burrito.
Yes. The other option is their Cool Ranch Doritos Loco Taco. They introduced in 2013, dropped into 2019. Basically a normal taco with Cool Ranch Dorito. They'll reveal the results on April 13th, and the winner will appear on the menu later this year at participating locations. This is a great idea that they are failing at. it's a very smart idea. Yeah, it's a smart idea.
They're not putting back the items that people want. Because they don't even have all the options of Lupas anymore, do they?
I don't think so, but I got to be honest, it's been a very long time since I've been in the Taco Bell. I don't even remember the last time I was at a Taco Bell. And I don't mean that as an insult or anything like that. It's not my thing. There's plenty of other restaurants out there. Plenty of people go and do Taco Bell. They don't need me. But I can't help but call this out. I mean, if it was a place that I go to every day, if it was Culver's, I'd do the same thing. If you're going to do this, do it right. You don't say you're going to give it up. You give the people the option and then give them two options. Then again, we do that with the presidential.
Just limiting to two choices is not really.
I know.
Well, I suppose.
I guess I can't complain too much about it. Although I complained about there being only two presidential nominees anyway. So I'm staying on brand.
Well, we need ranked choice voting.
Ranked choice voting. Yep. We will. You and I will champion that for as long as we can. I couldn't stress that enough.
For sure.
Well, you really want to get past party and go to people. How much do you believe in people over party? Ranked choice voting does that, in among many other things.
Right. It makes the issues the point as opposed to the party.
Yeah, which is what this whole thing is supposed to be about. All right, I got to pause for a second, Melissa. We were talking about Taco Bell, and we went to ranked choice voting. That is a masterful job by us. I don't care. Even if you're tired of us talking politics out there, everybody, you got to admire that. I don't know how we made that jump. That was pretty good. I really feel like
But I still think with Taco Bell that they really need to give it, like, that should be an option there. Instead of only two things, what about a write-in? They could have done, at least done a write-in option.
It would be nothing for them to do that. That's a great idea. Plus, it would be nice to see. You've completely flipped me on this. I've never even had a seven-layer burrito, and I want this to happen. it'd be something completely different than what they have. These things that they're offering to bring back, quote unquote, aren't really any different than the stuff that they already got on their menu. At least the seven-layer burrito is something different.
Yep.
And
it's a meatless option, which they don't really have any other meatless options on their menu.
I didn't realize that. Okay, yeah, that's huge. That's missing a big part of your...
Well, I think they have the bean and cheese is maybe the only one.
Mm. Okay. Again, that's still only one option. That's not a whole lot to go on there. Yeah, I don't know about that. I think it's a nice idea on the surface. Then when you get into it, I don't know as much. How long does it take to make a first impression? It's an interesting question. I think it's one that many of us have wondered many times, especially those of us that have made bad first impressions. before we get into the article, I do have to say I don't believe in bad first impressions completely. I've made a lot of bad impressions and am still friends with those people or other situations or what have you. I really think that that's one of those things you can grow from. I think that used to may have been true back in the day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they say you never get a second chance to make a first impression, but you also can only have a few seconds to make a first impression. A survey found that the average person makes a first impression in just 27 seconds after meeting someone else.
And, wow, that's not a lot of time.
No, and about one in three people usually make first impressions in under 10 seconds.
Whew.
What can you tell about someone in just a few seconds? Obviously, you notice their appearance, but some other things people say they notice are a friendly smile, good manners, eye contact, punctuality, being controversial, and dressing well. And you're interacting with a stranger. If you're interacting with a stranger, a first impression may be your only impression. But there are times when it's more impactful, like a job interview, a date, or meeting someone important in a friend or a family member's life. But keep in mind that no one makes a good impression 100% of the time. In the survey, the average person said that they think they make a good impression about 45% of the time.
That's not a bad, you know, amount of guessing at how good of an impression you make.
Yeah, and I would probably, I'd feel safe going 50 to 45. I think I'd feel safe, maybe going a little higher. But yeah, that, somewhere around that ballpark. And I think
I'd rather come in under so that I could try to do better. You know?
Yeah, and along with that, that's something that individually I hope everybody can aspire for. It's something that we should all find some commonality in. Everybody can agree.
Yeah.
Here's something, doesn't matter who you vote for, doesn't matter where you're from or anything like that, we've all got this.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of those things that brings us closer together, hopefully.
Yeah.
We're all bad at first impressions. We're all That being said, should you get a mulligan on these? Like, should you be like you make the first pad for you go up to shake hands with somebody and you trip and fall on your face or something like that? Like, look, can I get a mulligan on that? Can I just get a second shot on that one? And we do our best to give that person, give that person a second take. Yeah, that's what we're gonna do. That's as a society, we're just all gonna agree on this.
Giving
right?
grace.
Yeah, yeah. Let's all just agree on this one.
I think so.
It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea to get to a break, take care of some commercials. We'll do that. We'll come back, and we've got some fun stuff we're going to get into. I'm going to talk about peeps a little bit. We've got peeps coming up. It's Easter time, so we got to talk peeps. It's coming up on The Morning Show.
Oh, yes.
The WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR 97.5 FM. And hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. Locally Grown Radio on your dial. Melissa and James here with you. Hope the morning is treating you good.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have some fun today. We got some other good stuff to get into that we want to touch on here. I want to get into this peeps thing with you. But I did want to let everybody know that after we go to the top of the hour, CBS News comes in. After that, we will get a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul Trombley going to join us, let us know what Mother Nature has got in store today. And after we're done talking with Paul, we're going to get into the top springtime frustrations.
Ooh, that should be interesting.
Yeah, I got that one coming up. Then we'll have Melissa's, we'll have our of course, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, get to Melissa's News, and have some more fun in that 8 o'clock hour. Right now, if you celebrate Easter by scarfing down packages of peeps, you're probably not too worried about nutrition. Nothing good can come from peeps passing through your digestive system, you would think.
Yeah. Consumer sugar.
Consumer Reports is reminding parents that peeps contain a known carcinogen. It's artificial coloring red dye number 3. So are peeps poisonous for kids? Well, possible. But red dye number 3 is in thousands of food products and is allowed by the FDA, despite being banned from use in lipstick and other cosmetics. The company that makes peeps says all their products are in compliance with the FDA regulations, and all ingredients are listed on the packaging. Red dye number 3 is in purple and pink colored peeps. The FDA hasn't commented. That's interesting to me, that last part there, that they have not commented on this one yet. Dyes have always been interesting to me. I've never, going back in the day to dipping your eggs in dye, you know, to 100 other things that we do with that with dye, like putting it in food, you know, foods and the way we in, like, gosh, even in fish, the neon dye that they put in the fish and everything. Like, I've always felt we were too comfortable with dye. Like, I don't I don't know how like properly to word that, but there's something that has never felt right to me about it.
Yeah, dyes are interesting because they can, I mean, when we ingest them in our bodies, there are different ones, and they've talked about them over the years here, the food standards in the U.S. It's a lot different here than, say, in the EU.
Yeah.
Because our food standards, that must show that it causes harm, whereas in the EU, it's could potentially cause harm.
Yeah.
So there's a difference of making the statement of, well, has it caused actual harm? No. So we can eat it here in the U.S., but over in the U.K., it's, could it possibly cause harm? Well, then we're not going to let you have it.
It seems virtually impossible to do, but doesn't it feel like in a perfect world it would be better if the FDA was a world thing?
Well, maybe. Or at least if there was some global standards.
Yeah, I think that's more of where I'm going with it is global standards, because it, say I do everything I can to avoid red dye number three and all that. I go overseas and it's okay. You know, and I'm not, that's not a good example, I understand, but you know, just something. I avoid this product over here, it's safe over there, or vice versa, and then you know, well, you're still dealing with it.
And I think there is something. The Global Food Security Index is,
I knew
is
there
a
was
global,
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, there is a something. And they score countries on the safety of their food, as well as affordability, availability, and quality.
You ever have a thought or an idea, and you're like, no, that's too good. That definitely isn't original. I definitely didn't come up with that on my own. Somebody else has got to be doing that. I think that if you're eating Peeps, you probably already know this. If you don't, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how you haven't paid attention to it. And nowadays, I don't know how you're not looking at what's in your ingredients. It seems like everybody's doing that.
Yeah, artificial flavorings and dyes have been, you know, I would say scrutinized now for quite some time, because we know that they can be dangerous.
Yeah, and are they that? I mean, it's not as if they're vital. We don't have this need. Well, we got to be able to dye things. I mean, people got to live. It's not like that. It's not, you know.
But we have certain standards on how we expect things to look.
Right, right. Is that something we just got to get over?
Like, yep.
I feel
like we have to get over the fact that all of our apples don't have to be perfect. All of our produce in the produce aisle doesn't have to look exactly perfect. Nature isn't always perfect.
I would like to send a call to all the bad apples out there. I will take you. I will eat you. I like apples just in general. I don't care what they look like. I don't mind. Green, red, doesn't matter.
Well, and there's different things, too, that we are talking more about. There's a California bill that will potentially ban Skittles.
Yeah.
Because it has chemicals in them that aren't good for you. It's an interesting time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's also an interesting, like, so take Skittles. I love Skittles. That's something, though, that in the last year or two, I've done more research on, and it has made me wonder. And I don't know if it's even intentional or subconscious or what it is, but I have noticed that since I did that reading, I haven't eaten as many Skittles. I have still eaten them, but not as many. I don't know. I'm also, though, working to get sugar out of my diet. So there's that, too. Get more sugar out of my diet. Let's not get crazy here. I'm not going to be able to get it all out. But
it's difficult.
Yeah. I had no idea how much sugar was in so many different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not just in sweets. It's in a lot of, it's in processed foods. It's in, you know, a lot of things.
Definitely something to look into, the red dye number three, when it comes to Peeps, if you are a Peep connoisseur.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to touch on this one, too, before we go to break. Where is it? Here it is. Yeah. The average American will spend $192 on Easter this year.
Whoa.
Yeah. When did that happen?
Why?
Easter is coming this Sunday, and this year the average American, $192, is going to be spent by them. Overall, Americans will spend a record $24 billion on Easter.
Whoa.
That's up from the...
I suppose if you're making a meal, that would be a lot of the expense.
Easter baskets?
Oh, yeah.
That's up from the previous high of $21.7 billion during the pandemic. The most common expenses are candy, gifts, food, clothing, flowers, decorations, and greeting cards. According to the National Retail Federation, the average consumer has shelled out at least $150 on Easter for the past 6 years and about $192 in all time. The most popular Easter Sunday activities include cooking a holiday meal, like you mentioned there, visiting family and friends, going to church, Easter egg hunts, and watching TV. That's funny.
Easter specials?
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, there's some Easter specials, I'm sure. Yeah.
Probably.
So, if I didn't mention the word Easter throughout all of this, couldn't you just as easily have thought I was talking about Christmas?
Maybe.
In some ways.
That's a lot of money.
I never put Easter and materialism together before. But looking at this list and thinking about it, just taking a step back and thinking about it, I don't know. I mean, I'm positive that there are families out there that celebrate the holiday for the religious purposes that it has. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that celebrate Easter just in general. Maybe you grew up with Easter and you don't have you and your family aren't necessarily religious, but you celebrate the traditions that you grew up with.
And celebrate getting together and spending time with family.
Yeah.
I think that's...
But all versions of Easter, I've never thought about the money involved in Easter before. honestly, that I don't have the right word for it, but it doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't, you know, and it's not even my holiday. It's not even my thing. It's not even, and I don't think this is very kosher. I don't think this is very, it doesn't feel like it, at least. I mean.
But to be fair, that amount of money is like 20% of what people spend on Christmas.
It's a good point.
Because looking up the statistics, on average, people spend about $1,000 on Christmas per year. So, you know, $200 doesn't seem like that much comparatively.
Well, and similar to Christmas, there's nothing like, nobody likes spending money, but everybody likes the look on a kid's face when they get something. And whether it's a Christmas gift or it's an Easter basket, you know, you're going to spend for that smile. You're going to spend for that happiness.
And then you're going to spend to put a meal on the table for your family and friends, because that we do that every gathering. Mm-hmm. There's usually a spread of food, and it's getting pricier and pricier to put that out.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if there's... I think that this is one of those things, too, where here's a chance for us to kind of maybe balance things in society. I'm not saying you can't have those things there, but maybe a little less of that and maybe a little more of the free stuff in life. Like, I don't know, spending time with your friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing.
Yeah. And Easter was always a very confusing time for me as a child, because my parents did not get into the commercialized part of Easter, so no Easter bunny, no Easter eggs, no none of that part of it. But I always thought it was weird growing up that it didn't seem like the church made a big deal out of Easter either. And it was something I kind of pushed back on a little bit. It's like, wait a minute, isn't this when Jesus rose from the dead? Shouldn't this be like a major thing? But it just seemed like another, you know, day at church. I'm sure they did extra things that I just didn't pay attention to as a kid.
Yeah.
But I think I was also just a little jealous of not getting a new Easter dress and not getting an Easter basket and not getting a chocolate bunny. So maybe that has more to do with it than my actual perception of the holiday from the religious aspect.
It's weird. I always find these conversations interesting between the two of us. We grew up very differently. But growing up multiculturally and with two different, you know, religions in the house and everything, I never felt confused about these things. I always felt it was very, like, explained to us and very, you know, kind of, this is what this day is for. This is why we celebrate it. And the confusing part came when I was trying to find my Easter basket.
It wasn't where you expected it to be?
No, my father took such joy in hiding our baskets. I swear, like, he would spend all year thinking of places where to hide them. And he would hide them in these places. And it'd be like, how did he... I don't understand that. Like, gravity shouldn't make that be. Like, it shouldn't be able to hang there like that. Like, the things he would do. Like, and he would get such a joy out of this. I can remember Easter's where my dad was telling him, like, just tell the kids where they are. Just tell Jillian where it is. Because Jill would always have a hard time finding Earth. And my dad would just, like, refuse to do it. It's like, no, she's got to find it. She's got to earn it. We would spend sometimes, like, a couple hours looking for these baskets. Like, there were times I was worried the chocolate would go bad before we'd find it.
So I had to look up why you hide Easter baskets, or even Easter eggs, because I never knew. And so the Easter egg hunt became an Easter tradition in the 16th century in Germany. Martin Luther held egg hunts at the church for his congregation, where the women and children would look for eggs that the men hid around the property. This practice is symbolic of the women who discovered that the tomb was empty after the resurrection.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I never knew that.
I didn't either. Huh, that is an interesting one. Very cool. Thank you for looking that up.
Yeah.
Anytime I hear your keys clacking over there, I just keep talking, just buying you some time. I know you're up to something. That's awesome. Nice work.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break right here. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun. We'll get a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. It's the morning show here at WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio.